T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mandy Bell, who is the new Indians beat reporter, MLB.com. Mandy, I know you've been here a little bit, but I know you're not in Cleveland yet, but welcome to Cleveland. How are you enjoying your time? I don't know how much time you've spent in Cleveland yet, but how are you enjoying your time here so far?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. I moved about a week before spring training started, so I got a few days at least under my belt. But yeah. All my furniture came from my apartment after I left, so I have yet to see what my apartment really looks like, which I'm looking forward to.
Are you from Pennsylvania? Where are you from originally?
Yeah, South Central Pennsylvania. It's Chambersburg. No one's ever heard of it,
nope.
But it's about 30 miles west of the Gettysburg area. So. Okay. At least give some people some point of reference. But yeah, South Central PA. It's about 4.5 hours from Cleveland.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of Chambersburg, yes.
Oh, you have?
Okay.
Used to work in Erie, and we would do high school games throughout the state.
Uh-huh. But,
yes.
Oh, nice.
But yes, and she's a proud Nittany Lion, which we won't get into that.
Yeah, we'll leave her be. All right, Mandy, so we've got some news today from Indians camp, and I know Francona said, I saw you tweeting earlier that he said Alex Wilson, Ryan Flaherty, Justin Grimm, AJ Cole, all won't make the roster. The one thing that's interesting there is Flaherty. Does that signal to you that they think Lindor is going to be ready for opening day?
We asked that, and I think we all knew the answer that Francona was going to give was definitely no to that one. To me, that could be. It seems like every single day they can only say more and more positive things about the way that Lindor's rehab process has been going. The next step for him was to run with bases actually in place. He's been, you know, rounding imaginary bases right now. They didn't want him stepping on the bag yet. But this morning he did that, and I think Francona's phrasing was at a pretty good effort. So he's not completely sprinting just yet. He seems to be progressing. He's going to be playing about 5 or 6 innings today in the minor league game right now that's going on. And he seems to be having the itch to get back. I think if it was up to him, he'd be definitely back for opening day. But I think that can at least allow us to believe that even if he does miss opening day, it's only going to be a few games into the season until he's back with the team.
Mandy, as we try to get a look at what that outfield could look like, and of course now the addition of Carlos Gonzalez, first of all, do you think Hanley Ramirez, I get the sense this decision is going to go right down to the wire with Hanley Ramirez, and obviously whether or not he does make the roster is going to affect a guy like Jake Bowers and really have a trickle-down effect. So how do you see that playing out?
Oh, yeah. Hanley Ramirez is a huge decision right now just because, like you said, it's a complete domino effect, whether or not he makes a team. And you can tell how badly the Indians want him to make the team. Tito has said the last few days that they've brought their own scouts in to be able to try to help them evaluate how Hanley looks right now, just because it is so difficult. He's been out since last May, so it's challenging to just hop back in the box and, you know, pick up exactly where you left off against Major League pitching. But one thing that Tito has said is that he really likes the bat speed that he's seen. As long as he at least has that, that shows that there's potential at the plate. Knows that you can't predict what's going to happen this year with what he's doing so far this spring. But he does say that the bat speed at least allows you to think that there is more to him that could happen during the regular season. So he's a huge decision, and it's pretty clear because they are bringing in scouts, the way they're talking, they desperately want this to work out, and they're going to take it down to the very last second until they have to make a decision on him.
It's a little sad to me that they're desperate about Hanley Ramirez, who's kind of so – I mean, he's so past his prime at this point. I mean, I guess you hope for something, but, you know, the thing to me, Mandy, is I look at it and I say, you know, Jake Bowers is a natural first baseman. I wonder if they'd just be better off with Santana primarily as the DH and Bowers at first and playing, you know, Greg Allen or whoever ends up being, you know, maybe eventually Cargo. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they're better off with or without Hanley?
I think that they would be better with him at least at this point.
Okay.
Until Gonzalez is ready, they have until Tito said yesterday was an April 20th opt-out date to get him prepared to get in with the team and get called back up to the bigs. I think once he's there, then maybe you can start shifting it a little bit more. But I think the big thing is they want Carlos Santana in the field. And I know Carlos Santana wants Carlos Santana to be in the field. He is definitely someone who never wants to be taken out of the lineup. And it's not like being a DH is being taken out of the lineup, but he wants to make sure that he's out on the field every single day. Although he'll do whatever he needs to do to help the team, obviously. But, I think they really like his glove in the infield. And that's why this is the way that they're hoping that it goes, to keep him in the infield, keep Jake Bauer's bat in the lineup. And then if Hanley Ramirez can produce some things on the offense and adds at least another bat in the middle of the lineup, that can add some pop.
Mandy Bell covers the Triumph for MLB.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mandy, looking at that right field situation right now, and again, we'll go with the idea that Hanley Ramirez makes the squad. We'll say Bauer's is in left. But in right field, until Cargo's ready and up to speed, you're looking at, what, a platoon of probably Greg Allen or Tyler Naquin. And Naquin, I heard he's healthy, but we hear that maybe he's not up to speed as far as his rhythm and timing. So what could that look like on opening day in right field?
I think right now it looks like it's going to be a platoon situation just between Naquin and Allen, like you said. I think Naquin still has a good shot at being the starting fielder on opening day, but I think it'll be going back and forth a little bit. Greg Allen has had a really great spring.
Yeah.
He's really, really shown a lot, both offensively and defensively, so that cannot be ignored. Franco has been saying, though, like you said, that it seems like Naquin just hasn't really gotten his timing down, although he did get a couple of hits last night. It was funny, he even joked whenever he came into the clubhouse today, just saying that he gave the writers something to talk about today. So it's just, at least like the attitude seems to be light in here as you know, it's tension is building in the clubhouse. But I think it's going to come down between the two of those. And even though I think Naquin still probably will be the starting right fielder, and then once Cargo gets ready, I think he has a good shot at just starting to push some people out of that right field spot.
Mandy Bell, MLB.com, New Indians beat reporter. Mandy, let's talk about catcher here, right? Obviously, Yan Gomes traded. I hated that trade, but it is what it is. You think we'll see an even timeshare pretty much between Perez and Ploiecki, or will Perez be the primary guy?
I think Perez is the primary guy.
Okay.
Whenever everyone showed up to camp now over a month ago, Tito kept saying how much he believed in Perez. And at first we all thought it was going to be like a split 50-50 situation. But the more Tito kept talking about how much he was believing in Perez and how well Perez can handle a pitching staff and how important that is, and maybe people don't really realize how important it is in just handling the elite staff that they have rather than just focusing on what his offensive production has been. It seems like he is 100% focused on Perez, and I think that means that he will get a shot, and he's also had a good spring. Tito's been saying the last few games, that it seems like he's staying in a little bit more, taking the ball the opposite way, and whenever he's able to do that, he's getting more success, having more consistency. And Perez even said, if I get more at-bats and I'm playing on a consistent basis, I think that'll only help my batting average. So I think he will be the main guy.
Mandy, as we look at that bullpen, and Tito joked the other day, although I think he's serious every year he says this, that he'd like to carry 15 guys. I know he would.
He loves using that pen.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're looking at guys now as we get down to the nitty-gritty here and closer to opening day. Pardon, the play on the tournament. But as far as the guys on the bubble, like who are the guys that are kind of, you know, right there, fringe, and they're going to have tough decisions to make as we get closer to opening day?
Yeah, Alex Wilson was a surprising one for me today, that they talked to him last night, they said, and let him know that he wasn't going to be making the team so that he could talk with his agent, explore some other options if need be. He was a surprising one. I thought that he would have a shot at being one of the non-roster guys,
yeah,
who would break camp with the Indians. They always say that there's going to be a few non-roster guys who do it. I thought he was going to be a front runner, especially whenever Clifford got hurt. So I was expecting him to be the one who would slide in there. So that one was sort of shocking to me. But John Edwards is someone I think that people need to keep their eye on. He's someone who's on the bubble, obviously, right now. But he's had an incredible spring so far. And I think that he could be somebody who's in there. He obviously was in there a little bit last year, too. So I think he's somebody that could be breaking camp a little bit. But like you said, and like how Tito's been saying, there's just so many arms and there's only so few spots. And he would desperately like to be able to keep as many as he could. But minimalizing this to 7 or 8 is going to be extremely tough over the next few days.
The only thing I'll say to that is that I don't, you know, it's tough only because they all seem so mediocre. Isn't that fair to say? I mean, outside of Brant Hand, do you trust anybody in that pen? I don't right now.
Yeah, I think that it looks like right now that guys like Oliver Perez or Adam Simber could be set up depending on what hand the batter's, what side of the plate the batter's standing on.
Sure.
It looks like those two could be the setup guys, and it seems like Francona has been pretty confident in both of them this year. Every time he gives a hypothetical scenario about an eighth inning, he's like, well, you'd either go to Perez or Simber. So it seems like those two guys are pretty much locks in the bullpen, and he seems like he's pretty confident in both of them.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, there's just so much unknown with the Indians right now just because there's so many new faces on this team. I know a lot of guys who've been here a lot longer than I have keep walking into this clubhouse and just saying, where is this? Like, who are these people? There's so many new names on the lockers. It's just it's a little bit different right now. So because of all that unknown, it's just like the Indians, the fans, everybody looking at this just doesn't know what they're going
to
get.
It's a weird team to figure out because the division's bad. I think Minnesota will be competitive, but everybody else stinks. White Sox are not there yet. And the rotation's great. It's the best rotation in baseball. Mm-hmm. And then Ramirez and Lindor is probably the best 1-2 punch in baseball. But mm-hmm. the rest of the lineup and the bullpen besides Hand is a ton of question marks. So there's some – it's like a team of studs and duds. So it's going to be interesting to see how the season plays
Maybe
out.
They can use that as their
– Studs and duds?
Studs and duds. Come on out.
I mean, the rotation is so good. So good
it is,
on
yeah.
paper.
No, I don't
like, I even love Bieber. Like, I think Bieber's going to be really good. And he's their fifth starter. Like, he'd probably mm-hmm. be a third starter on most teams in baseball. But, you know, lineup-wise and bullpen-wise, they can't compete with the other teams in this. Well, the Red Sox bullpen's questionable. But they can't compete with Boston's lineup or the Yankees lineup or the Astros, and they can't compete with the Yankees bullpen either.
Right, and I think that something else that they're keeping in mind, and I've heard Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff both talk about this, every single time that we talk to them, if they're in a position where they feel like they're able to make a run of any sort in the pro season as the trade deadline approaches in mm-hmm. July, they're going to be making more moves. So whatever team that they have, and I think they said this over the offseason, whatever team that they're breaking camp with is not going to be the team come October. There's going to be some sort of addition.
Yeah.
So I think if that can be kept in the back of people's minds as well, to be able to piece maybe another hitter, outfielder, whatever it may be, whatever their biggest need is come July or in the middle of that season, they might be able to strengthen that at some point with a trade during the year.
Manny, just a quick one before we let you go here. Appreciate the time. The young outfielders, Oscar Mercado, certainly a guy that really had a great spring. You understand the reasoning behind sending him back down. They want him to get everyday swings, but could you make a case that, you know, this spring, Oscar Mercado, Daniel Johnson, for those that are looking for some optimism with young outfielders, are those two guys that maybe turned some heads this spring?
Oh, those two guys by far have turned plenty of heads this spring. I mean, they were just so impressive to watch. And the coaching staff could not have been, like, speaking higher of them this entire time that they've been here. Mercado especially, just because he is a little bit further ahead than Johnson. Johnson hasn't been above AA just yet. Mercado, though, he's somebody that Indians fans can at least be excited for and see, I think, very soon into the season. He's going to get some time. Tito said he didn't want him to be up there in April because everyone has seen what Cleveland can do to players during April alone, let alone your first time in the majors and trying to get acclimated. So getting him a few more at-bats, but I think come mid-season you could at least see him once so far. And he's someone that's very exciting just because whenever he came into camp this year, the scouting report says obviously great speed, great defender, but it said that the hitting is where he's a little bit inconsistent. And so Tito has said he has blown our expectations away, because that's what they were expecting, that, you know, a little bit of a below average, right around average hitter. He took it upon himself to go to Cleveland at their swing camps this offseason. He completely revamped his swing to drive through the ball a little bit more, and goodness, you could only see how much it paid off this spring. So he lasted a lot longer than the rest of the minor league, their top prospects, all their guys, just because he did make it hard on them. Francona said he even made us consider bringing him with us for the longest time, but they thought it would be best for him to set him up for success by sending him back down just for a little bit longer.
Mandy, before you go, here's the most important thing I need to know. Have you heard Paul Hoynsey laugh yet?
Oh, my goodness. How couldn't you? It's
the greatest laugh out there. Right? It's the greatest laugh ever. Every time he comes on our show, we purposely try to make him laugh.
Any good stories from the Hoynsey birthday bash? We won't tell anybody.
Oh, he wasn't down here. He was back up in Cleveland, so I didn't get, I didn't see him for that.
Wow.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't down here. I know. I was super bummed.
Yeah. Well, Mandy, we appreciate it. Welcome to Cleveland again, and we'll see you soon.
Keep up the good work,
Mandy. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Mandy
Thank
Bell.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.